This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
And we are back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, hour two of The Scorecard. Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito here with you. We are pending the arrival of one Stuart Sink. We hope to have him here shortly. Until then, talking to you at 312-644-6767 and talking, Barry, about the event that's happening in the hometown of that band we just heard in Boston. Little Aerosmith right there, the Northern there Trust at TPC Boston this weekend. And Dustin Johnson, our leader after the first two rounds.
He is. He is the leader. And I'm hoping we get a hold of Stuart here, and maybe Mike will give a little bit of background about him before he comes on. That way we'll have a little more time for to just talk to him, talk about him. And I know you're going to welcome him and introduce him, but here he is, 2009 British Open champion, six-time PGA Tour winner. He was on five Ryder Cup teams, four President's Cup teams, recipient of the 2017 Payne Stewart Award, which we mentioned a little bit before, and grew up in Huntsville. He was a three-time All-American at Georgia Tech and the 1997 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, and he won the Greater Hartford Open, which is now the Travelers. So mm-hmm. he's a great player over the years. I don't know if you remember the 1999 PGA Championship at Medina. Tiger won, and it was the year when Sergio, that famous shot on the 16th yep. green where he the ball was behind the tree and he kind of closed his eyes and hit it and then ran up the fairway. I mean, that was the iconic thing and the iconic move. And then, of course, Tiger making the putt on the par 3 17th and kind of looking back at Sergio. And so Tiger finished first. He won. Sergio was second. But, you know, tied for third with one other player, whose name I can't remember, was Stuart Sink. So he was a couple of shots behind Tiger, and so he played great. But, you know, just a situation where you kind of overlook the guy that finished third. But he was in contention in all those majors back in the day. I always remember him, seeing him on TV, et cetera. So great, great career.
Yeah, for sure. No, we talked about it, too, a little bit. With Stewart, you know, the timing, his career has paralleled Tiger's, and you know, for better or worse, I mean, certainly some benefits to that, but also that means that you have to face Tiger every time you're out there, so that's certainly not going to be anything that's going to help your standing. It's not going to help you win, but it certainly did help the game of golf. So, you know, some good, some bad with that for Stewart.
Well, the good thing was that that because of Tiger, the tournament purses went up. The TV broadcast rights, they sold them for an ungodly amount of money that I don't even know, but it was a lot. And so anybody who played in that era had to compete against Tiger. But on the other hand, the purses went up so much that everybody made a heck of a lot more money. So they all should, you know, Arnold Palmer is a guy they should all love, and so is Tiger Woods, because they both helped explosively increase the purses on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, no, and we definitely see that to this day. The you know I mentioned when we were talking earlier about Scottie Scheffler, you know, his rookie year here on the tour, and here we are in pandemic times, and you know he's made 15 cuts out of 20 tournaments. This guy's made $2.2 million already this year. That's not too shabby, rookie on the golf course, right?
That's pretty good. You know, divide that, you know, 10 years, if you make 20 grand a year, you know, that's pretty, you know, it's a pretty
it's
good
a healthy,
average, you know.
It's definitely healthy. No, and we certainly appreciate how much that has increased. And you mentioned, you know, Tiger back in the 90s, but that certainly was a huge turn for when these purses started increasing. I distinctly remember a lot of the, you know, how great this is for golf articles and TV spots and, you know, look at all the kids now playing golf. And I know that, I mean, I know that to be true just from experience, but that is certainly, you know, the Tiger effect, whatever you want to call it, back in the 90s and then, you know, into the early 2000s, that you had a lot more interest and a lot more eyes on the game.
Yeah,
so, and Barry, we are going to head on out now to the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park, and we are thrilled to be joined by, among other things, and we kind of just went over them, but the 2009 British Open champion, six-time PGA Tour winner, Stuart Sink is our guest. Good morning, Stuart. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Happy to be on.
Good morning, Stuart. Thank you very much for joining us. You're by far our greatest guest. We started this show the week before the Colonial, and I mean, not that you have a lot of competition. We had the Illinois Open champion on last week, but so you're way better than that.
Oh my goodness! Well, I appreciate that. I guess.
Yeah, that was meant as a compliment.
I'll
hey,
try
Stuart.
To live up your expectations.
Well, we'll try. Hey, Stuart, before we get going, I just wanted to ask you, I think a lot of people remember that your wife, Lisa, in 2016, bout with cancer, and it was kind of a thing. Everybody kind of found out about it. So I just, before we get going on all this golf stuff, I just wanted to ask you how she's doing, because I know that a lot of your fans are interested.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's obviously, it's been a big difference in our life since 2016, and she's doing great. She's in remission. She was diagnosed at stage 4, which is kind of unusual for breast cancer. But so she's still in treatment, but she's had just a tremendous response and support from her team and from all of our friends and family in the golf world. And so she's really doing great. And I appreciate you asking, but yeah, it's definitely definitely like life version 2.0 for us ever since then.
Right. Stuart, so now we'll do the golf. what do you make of what's going on in Boston in terms of the low scores? I mean, we were talking earlier about Paul Goidos and Steve Stricker, 59 and 60 out at the 2010 John Deere Classic, but this is amazing for a playoff event.
Yeah, it is amazing, and really it doesn't matter what event it is, but the players are just really that good these days. They're so complete, you know, from top to bottom in their game, that if you give them the right kind of conditions, any course can be taken apart. And I was having this exact conversation with my son last night, as a matter of fact, and who – both of my sons recently got engaged, by the way, in the last 3 weeks. So our heads are spinning a little bit right now.
Congratulations. At least they're your sons and not your daughters.
You got that right. So I was having this exact conversation, though, about he was reading. He's really plugged into the PGA Tour and knows a lot about what happens in the world of golf. And he was saying that there's so many people out there, social media, that are criticizing the courses and the PGA Tour and TPC, saying this is a joke, it's too easy. They have no idea that this DPC Boston is not a pushover. I mean, it's not that easy. And, you know, you guys up in your area, you're pretty familiar with scores being low at the John Deere, and I'm sure you played it. It's not exactly a pushover. I mean, it's,
right.
the players are just really good. The level of skill and the mental strength and what it takes to compete at that level is really extraordinary. And people around the world and looking at it from you know, through the television screen or watching online, they just don't really have any idea how good the guys can be. And yesterday was an example of how good they can show they can be when the conditions are right.
Go ahead, Barry. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you there.
No problem. Stuart, no, I was going to build on that. We were actually talking right when you were hopping on just about how when you first came up back in the mid-90s, and we were talking about you and Tiger and that era a little bit. But as you talk about that, is this one of those things where it's like literal, you know, night and day, constant improvement from era to era? Or is it, you know, better equipment, different, you know? And you tell me, is it just that much where the talent is just refined to the point now where these guys are just that much more skilled, or they're just doing, these scores are just coming out like that?
I think it's not a huge jump in the talent level, because at the top, it's always been amazing. I mean, just go back generationally. Tiger Woods obviously set the bar, but before that, go back to the players who led golf over the years. You talk about Norman, you talk about Nick Faldo, Curtis Strange, Nick Price. And further back, you start skipping larger generations, Nicholas, Hogan, Nelson, Bobby Jones, you know, guys like that. The top has always been, like, really unbelievable. But now I think the big difference is that I don't think the top players are better than the top players were then. I just think there's a lot more players right now that could be considered top players. And when you have a 100 guys teeing it up every day that can do that versus when you have 3 or 4 guys that could do it back then, you're liable to get crazy scores like this. It's just a matter of probability.
And yeah, yes, we were looking.
I'll add on to that, too, that, yeah, the equipment is better. There's no doubt the equipment's better, but we're playing against – Dustin Johnson's playing against Scottie Scheffler with the same equipment. You know, they have the same ability to make their equipment optimal for them. So you have to throw that part out of it. The equipment's better. The fitness is better. We know so much more about the game. But what happens when you have low scores every week, I think, is just the depth of the quality in the fields that exist now.
And, you know, we were talking about that, Stuart. We were looking at the leaderboard, and you have, you know, Tiger and Rory McIlroy make the cut at 3 under. You know, they're the big names on the tour, and they're going to be on PGA Tour Live this morning at 8 o'clock. And meanwhile, you know, at the top of the leaderboard, you have names that people really don't know. You know, Cameron Davis, Danny Lee, Harris English, some of these other guys, you know, and we probably know them because we follow golf all the time. But I think what it just proves your point that even so-called quote unquote no-name players are just as good as some of the marquee names.
Yeah, that's true, and that also speaks to the depth that there's going to be a lot of no names because it's not the same names up there all the time, and so the fans, the public who occasionally tunes into golf is going to say, who the heck is this English guy? Who the heck is this Scheffler guy? You know,
right.
We know, but we see it every week. We see these guys performing well, it's just the way of the future, I think, with golf. It's going to be really hard to be super dominant. I think I see that in the next, you know, well, for the foreseeable future, there's going to be a rotating group of top players that we've kind of like we've seen the last 10 or so years, where once Tiger sort of you know, didn't disappear, but once he dropped off the certain number one spot, I think that you saw like a kind of a group, a top three, a top five kind of emerge, and I think that's what we're going to be having.
You know, it reminds me, Stuart, of the pre-Tiger era when I was covering golf for the Chicago Sun-Times, and the brilliant, the cognoscenti, the brilliant media golf writers of the world at the time, and of course, I don't know if you know, media know everything. Said there will never be another dominant player in golf. It just won't happen because you had Norman and Strange and all the guys that you mentioned, and it was a rotating thing. Norman was number one in the world, but he didn't win a lot of majors. He, you know, he had problems when he got down to the you know, we know what his problems were, but the point is there were a rotating group of guys, and that seems what's happening now. And they said there'll never be another dominant golfer, and then of course Tiger emerged. I was going to ask you, and Mike and I talked a little bit about this. You were Rookie of the Year in 1996, and I'm sure you know, you played at Georgia Tech, so you heard of Tiger Woods when he was an amateur. But then all of a sudden he bursts on the scene, and like, you know, you were tied for third at the 1999 PGA at Medina, but your whole career you had Tiger. So the good news was the purses were going up. And the bad news was, man, he was just so dominant. How much did that bother you when you were playing?
It was a little bit of both. I had an amazing time frame to play on the PGA Tour, you know, and I still am benefiting from it. I'm playing, full time. And when Tiger Woods came on the scene, everything changed. I mean, exploded. And, you know, a lot of work went into that with the staff of the PGA Tour, taking advantage of that popularity. And, but they did a great job and boom, golf exploded onto the scene. And Tiger was, he was a household name, and that was unheard of really for a golfer. And, it was hard to win with Tiger. I played with Tiger probably, I don't know, just off the top of my head, I can think of at least five or six rounds on Sundays when he won. And, I got to see that for a long time, and I won a couple of times during that time too, when he was in the mix, and that was fun. But it might have cost me a few wins, but it was also really amazing to be able to experience that surge in the popularity of golf.
Yeah, well, and Stuart, and one of those wins that we certainly all remember, and you know, we mentioned it off the top introducing you. I'm sure it's how most appearances you get introduced by as 2009 British Open champion. But not only did you win that major championship, which is a huge accomplishment in itself, but the whole backstory with the Tom Watson stuff, which I know, you know, and I know this from Barry, I'll let you tell the listeners too, but you know, that had to be something, right? Legend of the game, Tom Watson. And there it's you and him in this playoff to win the British Open. And I'm guessing, and you can let us know, as a fan of the game and as a, playing there in the playoff against a legend like Tom Watson, I mean, that had to be a mind trip for you.
You know, you prepare the best you can. You visualize, you get yourself ready for untold number of scenarios so that you don't ever be surprised when you're in the middle of the battle. That's one thing I just couldn't ever conjure up as far as a visualization to get myself ready with playing against 59-year-old Tom Watson in Scotland, where he's, he may be a citizen of Scotland at this point. I don't know, but
honorary.
I don't think they love Americans, top to bottom, but they love that one. They for sure love Tom Watson. And I didn't do myself any favors that day of earning their love, beating him, but I couldn't have been prepared for that. And, it was really amazing that, when I was a kid, my dad, I didn't have a lot of lessons growing up. I wasn't the kind of player who was like on the practice tee, getting coached. I just played. I just read magazines and read, little tips. And my dad kind of taught me some common sense stuff about golf. And I just played golf and let the scorecard teach me. But one of the things I remember learning was an article about chipping and how to pick out your landing spots around the greens. And it was by Tom Watson. It was, Tom always said to chip and try to pick out the low spots on the greens to land, because if you carry the ball a little further than you meant to, you'll carry in the upslope. If you carry it a little shorter than you meant to, you'll hit the downslope. And so I always remember that. And especially over there where the roll of the ball is so important and the bounce is critical. And, sure enough, here I am at the British Open playing against him in a playoff and employing those tactics along the way. I remember Tom Watson teaching me how to chip, of course it was, because I subscribed to Golf Magazine, not because he came out and told me.
Right.
Little things like that, though. I mean, imagine like how strange it was. And the whole crowd I knew was pulling for him, and that's okay. I expected and understood it, but it was my day and I played great. And, just a strange situation, a strange feeling. But I think if Tom would have won, if you asked him, like, do you think you had five, could you give Stuart one? I think he would have said, heck no, I'm going to try to win. And people ask me all the time, you know, did you ever think about maybe letting Tom, like, go ahead and have that moment? And I said, no, of course not. No one would do that.
No one would do that. And he wouldn't want you to.
Wouldn't have done that.
But you played great on Sunday, and you birdied the 18th hole. And then, of course, he birdied 17 to take the lead back, and all he has to do is par 18. He basically hits the same shot in there. And again, this is a Turnberry where Watson beat Nicklaus in 1977 to win the British Open. And so this is he's back where he's hitting the same shot that he hit into 18 in 1977. And this one, of course, hits the downslope and goes to the back of the green. And now he's got to putt up the hill. He hits it too far, and now he's got a downhill 8-footer to make par, and of course he misses it. And then, you know, it seemed like the air went out of the balloon. But when you guys went to the first tee, tell us what happened when that happened to the tee for the. It was a 4-hole aggregate playoff then. That's what they did at the British Open at the time. So what did you do to get ready for that?
Well, I was about 3 groups in front of Watson, so I had to wait for the last 3, and I birdied the last hole, but at the time, you know, with still a little bit of golf left to play, I didn't know if that was going to be enough to get myself in the playoff or win. I didn't think it was at the time. I thought it was just going to be like one short probably. But, you know, birding the last hole in major when you're up there in contention, it doesn't hurt. And so I'm excited, but we just went to the locker room, my wife and my 2 kids and I and my caddy, and we went over and just kind of watched the last couple groups come through. And you know, you just described exactly what happened on the 18th hole with Tom. And once it looked like it was going to be a playoff, I started to kind of ready myself. And that's the only point where I was able to do any of that visualization and kind of get ready for what I might encounter over the next hour or so. And one thing I just wanted to make sure of is that knowing that Tom was going to be the heavy favorite, I mean, not just heavy, but like probably 100% of the crowd was going to be pulling for him and not me. And I don't think it's because they hated Stuart Sink. I think they just really, you know, wanted Tom to win. And I think everybody wanted to say, I was there that day. I was there right. The day that Tom won. 59 right. years old. It was amazing. So I recognized the weight of that story that was trying to become reality. And I also sensed that I had a huge advantage in the playoff because I finished with such strength and played really well that day. It was tough out there. And Tom, with his finish, I think kind of took a little wind out of his sails. So I felt like it was my time to really capitalize. And I'll tell you my really extensive plan. Get to the tee first. I'm sorry. I just messed up my plan. Get to the tee second. That was my only plan. That was my, and I mean, it's like, write this stuff down, right? Get to the tee second. That was my only plan. That's all I could come up with. That's how brilliant a planner I am. So the only way I could figure out how to do that to make sure I got to the tee second was to basically wait it out somewhere and kind of like stake out the tee so that I knew when it was my time to walk up. I just didn't want to stand on the tee and have Tom walk up and hear that thunderous applause. And I just wanted to make sure that he heard a little bit of applause for me. And so I staked it out, and the only place I could think of to do that in privacy was in the Port-a-John right there off the 5th tee where we started the playoff. So I went to the Port-a-John and waited it out, and once I heard the applause for him out there, I knew that was my cue to come out of the Port-a-John and walk about the 50 yards back to the tee. And sure enough, a little bit of applause. They were polite, and we went ahead and conducted the playoff.
And you just waxed him in the playoff. I mean, it was he had nothing left, and then you beat him. And did you get? I was interested. A couple of questions. A, did you get a lot of blowback? You know, on like, oh man, you're the jerk that beat Tom Watson in the playoff. And then B, did you ever sit down with Tom? Did you ever have dinner with him and talk it through? And because he's such a good sport about everything, you know, sportsmanship is such a hallmark of his career.
Yeah, he is. He certainly embodies that sportsmanship and the gentlemanly, you know, the respect part of golf that we all know and we love about the game. But we haven't ever had a time to sit down and talk about it. I don't know if I'd really want to sit down and have him go back through that, to be honest. I don't know. you know, that's just something that he might not want to talk about. It's not like we've avoided each other. We see each other, and he always comes over and says hi, and, you know, let me know the state of your game. And he's always super nice, and we have that bond. But we've never actually sat down and hashed it out. And I've you know, never done that with him. So maybe one day we will. As far as the blowback, I'll just say one thing. The headline in the paper the next morning was Shrek of the Lynx. And that was a picture of me. So I was the ogre. And I think that pretty much summed up the way that especially the British and the Gaul and the Scottish media saw it. But I think it kind of picks up on a little bit of the emotion of the rest of the golf world too, that I was the ogre that day. And that's fine with me. You know, I have a good time with that.
Yeah, well, and you got to go for the win there. Obviously, you're a professional. You're out there trying to win, and I think everyone understands that. Last thing for you, Stuart, and we really appreciate your time. It's been great chatting with you. The BMW next weekend is here in Chicago. And Chicago, Barry and I were talking yesterday. This is a place you've had some really good success over the years here in the Chicago area.
Yeah, I have. First of all, I love playing golf around there because we got such a varied number of really great courses over the years. It's been we've seen a lot of them, and it's been fun. I miss playing in Chicago regularly. And this week coming up will be Olympia Fields, which will be a new site for the FedEx Cup. Well, we were there in 2003. I played in the U.S. Open when it was there, and it'll be a new site for the FedEx Cup, and exciting. I'll be looking forward to seeing what they've done to the course, and, you know, those years since we were there. So yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, you were you did real well at Cog Hill a number of times, and what are some of the other courses that you? I know you guys don't always just play the tournament courses when you get here. Do you remember any other courses that are particularly memorable that you've played when you were here, or do you just play the tournament courses?
I usually just play the tournament courses because the coming in for a tournament just is time consuming nowadays. And but I do remember one year there was a hurricane that was coming up from the Gulf, and it was forecast to move right over Atlanta, Georgia, where I live. And so my coach and I were planning to come up to Conway Farms for that BMW about 3 or 4 years ago. And so we decided to leave early, and we got to Chicago with nothing to do. You know, my attention span, I've played almost 600 tournaments, and I have an attention span for golf tournament that is about 4.8 days. It's not really, I can't come in on like Sunday night and grind on Monday, grind on Tuesday, grind on Wednesday. I got nothing left in the tank by Sunday. So we came out a day early because of the hurricane, and on Monday we had nothing to do. And so a buddy suggested we go play golf somewhere up near Conway, and we went to a place, I believe it's called Knollwood. Does that sound right?
Oh, yes. Knollwood. Yes, sir.
Knollwood. You probably know it. And so
it's a great golf course.
We carried our bags. Yeah, we carried our bags around. I got a little carry bag, and my caddy played, and we had a great time. That was a really fun course to play. And it may not make the list of the greatest courses on the top 100 list that are in Chicago, like Chicago Golf Club and some of those that we are very familiar with. But we had a really fun time playing a classic old course, just a nice little place. And so I would put Knollwood right at the top of my list. And then I'd put Shoreacres up there, too. A long time ago. And I love the old courses like that.
Yeah, Shoreacres, the Seth Rayner course. And I believe Knollwood is a Colt Allison course. The head pro up there is Wade Gurish, so we give him a shout-out because he's a great guy. But, yeah, there's so many beautiful courses up here, you know, and I know, you know, guys like you really appreciate them because you actually know how to play golf, whereas the rest of us, we love the way they look, and then we hack it around and shoot 92, you know, at least that's me. You know, I go, boy, I love this course, and why did I just scull it over the green? But anyway, that's another story.
Great things about golf, though, that, you know, you don't have to be an expert player to have a connection with a course. Because in golf, unlike tennis or basketball, where they have more uniform courts, you know, the court's the same everywhere. Golf, the course is just as much a part of the game as your score or where your ball goes or how you feel or your swing. You know, the course is an experience on its own. So that's why, you know, golf course architects have careers. And we know such names as Colton Allison and Seth Rayner and the guys from the past and the guys that create great courses today. It's that experience that you have and that connection with the course that doesn't matter if you're a great golfer or not, you still enjoy it.
Well, Stuart, we really, really appreciate your time today. It's been great talking with you, and certainly thanks for coming on to the Scorecard here on 670 The Score with us.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed it too, guys. Y'all.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Good luck to you and everything in your future. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks. That's Stuart Sink, 2009 British Open champion. Great guy to chat with, Barry. Great guy to talk golf with. And as a result, we are extremely late. So
we need to take
a break. We have Vince Pellegrino from the BMW Championship coming up before the show is out. This is The Scorecard on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
And we are back on The Scorecard, Barry. And
wow.
Look at that, an actual produced intro from Russ Matera. That's big-time stuff right there. We appreciate that.
Well, good. Yep, Russ is the best. The best.
Plugged right in with Boston, the band, as we are in Boston, the city, for the this week's tournament, the Northern Trust at TPC Boston. Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler atop your leaderboard right now. But I digress on that for a second, Barry, and I know we're going to have to break again to welcome in Vince Pellegrino from the BMW, but that was pretty cool talking to the 2009 British Open champion, Stuart Sink. That was good stuff.
Yeah, right. He's such a nice guy and very articulate and very cool. And, you know, he's obviously a lot of time in, you know, since he won. And so a different, just a cool perspective that he has, and understanding all the animosity that people kind of had toward him after he won. But it wasn't his fault that Watson sort of collapsed in the playoffs,
right?
Which he really did, you know.
Yeah, no, and that has to be a head trip to have one of your, you know, childhood sport idols sitting there across from you in a four-hole playoff to win a major championship. That's just got to be one of those crazy things.
Yeah, you read the golf magazines on how to chip it by Tom Watson, and then you're sitting there, you know, as you said, standing against him at the British Open. So it was, but it was great, a great event, and certainly the top point of his career. So terrific.
Yeah, no, a great guy to talk to, and I was surprised. Not, I shouldn't be surprised because he's a pro golfer and he's been in the limelight for 25 years, but he has a million Twitter followers almost. Did you know that? That's just amazing to me.
That I did not know. I would have tagged him on the Twitter thing that I sent out last night if I'd have known.
He's got a large following. So Stuart Sink, anyway, we appreciated his time. And we appreciated his kind words about the city of Chicago and our golf courses, and specifically the BMW coming up next week, which will lead us very nicely into our next segment, where we'll welcome in Vince Pellegrino. He's the tournament director out there at the Olympia Fields Country Club and BMW Championship. Vince will join us to preview the BMW next weekend. Coming up next, right here on The Scorecard on 670 The Score.
Show Transition is back. The raw show interaction. It's a true score tradition. Returns starting at 9 a.m. between Mully and Hall and Dan Bernstein. Then at noon between Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes. At 2 when Lawrence hands things over to Mack and Parkins. And again at 6 between Mack and Parkins and Joe O. Don't miss the return of Show Transition on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
This segment brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers. When your basement leaks, you need help now, not months from now. Call Basement Water Stoppers today, and they'll see you within 72 hours. For a free professional evaluation and repairs within hours, call Basement Water Stoppers at 888-426-3074. That's 888-426-3074.
Remodeling your kitchen or bathroom? Studio 41 can help. Our home design showroom offers a great selection of kitchen and bath products featuring the bold look of Kohler. Visit us online at shopstudio41.com to find a showroom near you.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity Store. That's a lot of change.
Yep, just saving up for a rainy day.
You know, when you get Xfinity Internet and mobile together, you could save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill.
400 smackers?
Yeah, plus you can get fast internet and the most reliable wireless network.
Okay, but now what do I do with all this change I found in my couch?
There's an arcade down the street.
Let's go.
I'm working.
So am I. Pretty sweet, right?
Save up to $400 a year when you get Xfinity Internet and mobile together. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $25 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, switch to Xfinity Mobile and for a limited time, get $400 off an eligible Samsung Galaxy 5G phone. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Internet offer requires EcoBill and AutoPay, ends 9/22/20. Restrictions apply. New Performance Starter Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Wireless savings compares to averages of top providers. Xfinity Internet required. Galaxy offer ends 9/15/20. 5G only in parts of select cities.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Oil change coming up? We can help you out. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And if you need it fast, we can help you get it fast. Whether it's at home with our next day delivery or in-store and curbside with our free same-day pickup. The choice is yours. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Where fresh eggs reign like opportunity. Honey butter goodness is spread. And the frosty is chinoed. At Wendy's, we don't ask what tomorrow holds, but rather, what will you hold tomorrow? Will it be the breakfast baconator or the honey butter chicken biscuit? No matter what you choose, tomorrow's looking good.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
These days, it's okay to do some things halfway, like wearing your pajama bottoms on a work call. But managing your prescriptions shouldn't be one of them. That's why CVS has a proprietary search tool to find ways that may help lower your prescription costs, and will deliver them too. No wonder CVS customers are better than most at staying on prescriptions, which tends to make you healthier. Come in or call today and get a free prescription savings review at CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
If you haven't yet experienced the private course feel of Public Seven Bridges Golf Club, now is the time. Enjoy our challenging and rewarding course paired with unparalleled outdoor dining and views at the Dock Bar and Grill. Your summer is not complete without a visit to Seven Bridges.
Listen to the Cubs play the Sox tonight at 7:15 on the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
And we are back. And we love our Pixies music, featuring the music of Boston this week, as we are in Boston at the Northern Trust TPC Boston this week, Barry.
Yeah, the Pixies is kind of updated for me. That's good.
Yeah, it's all the way into the late 80s, early 90s. So it's definitely...
Totally. It's like yesterday, you know.
That's exactly right. Well, we've got one more great guest to talk to, so we hop on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park, the tournament director for the BMW Championship coming up next weekend. Vince Pellegrino joins us. Hey, good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Barry. How are you guys?
Good morning, Vince. How's it going, man?
It's great. It's another beautiful day at Olympia Fields Country Club, getting ready for next week.
That's good. I know, Vince, that you obviously, you know, if this was a normal year, you'd have been starting your build, you know, a month and a half, 2 months ago. Describe what it's been like. I know there's been a lot of uncertainty. I know you wanted to get some fans out there, and then the tour said no. How has it been the last few months?
You know, Barry, it's been pretty much a roller coaster, you know, of emotions and decisions, quite frankly, and planning. You know, obviously we've been planning this championship for you know, several years now, and to start out the year with having some great hospitality sales, selling out the Pro-Am, and then trying to modify it to have limited spectators, and then to really be out where we're at today with not having any Pro-Am or spectators, it's tough. It's disappointing. We understand why, and the health and safety of the players, and just being able to play the championship, you have to see the silver lining in that. And we're excited
right.
about it. It's the best 70 players in the world. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, the planning process this year was more difficult than ever because you never knew what to expect, and things were changing daily. So it was really tough. I'm just glad that, we did start building. We built some structures on what was going to be 15, 16, and 17. Then didn't get very far in those structures before we got the word that we weren't going to have spectators. So, it's not great, but we're still going to have a wonderful golf tournament.
Yeah, and the good news is you'll have a lot of great players. Now, as I read the leaderboard from yesterday, Jordan Spieth and Mickelson won't be playing. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean it's not looking great for those. I mean those guys, but. As I'm looking at the board right now, with Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, obviously won the PGA, Bryson DeChambeau, who won here, U.S. Amateur. We've got Rory and John Rahm and Adam Scott and Jason Day and Tiger Woods. Looks like Paul Casey's going to sneak in. So I mean, it's still an incredible field, and we're gonna miss a couple players, but we do every year. I mean, that's nothing
of course.
That's abnormal.
Of course, yeah. It's always we always focus on the guys that aren't there, but you're going to have a fantastic field. How has BMW been through it? They have to be disappointed. They can't. I think in all these tournaments, people don't necessarily appreciate how important it is for the corporate sponsor of the event to be able to invite their guests in. And I mean, that's such an important part of a golf tournament. How is BMW dealing with that?
It's tough for them too. I mean, this is a big investment for them, and they do entertain their dealers and owners, and that's not going to happen this year. And whether it's in the Pro-Am or in our owner's pavilion that we typically have on site, that's tough. But I think if you look at the the eyeballs, people who are watching this championship and golf just in general, I think viewership is up, so they're going to see a bump in people watching the championship. That's certainly not going to that's not going to outweigh the on-site entertainment factor, but it'll make up for it a little bit. But they've been so supportive, and they always have been, of Western Golf and Evan Scholars, and they're a really good partner. We hope to have them for several years more, but they've just been a true partner in all of this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike. Go.
Talking to Vince Pellegrino, the tournament director out there at the BMW Championship, and you mentioned, Vince, the Evans Scholars. I'm out of college many decades now, but some of my high school and college buddies, some of my best friends were Evans Scholars, and I know how important this event is for that Evans Scholars Foundation. So how does all of this affect that? I know it's to fund these scholarships, so what has 2020 looked like in that respect?
Well, first off, I think with so many families impacted in so many different ways by COVID-19, we're seeing a greater need, probably the greatest need, for the scholarship for young men and women to be able to afford the high costs of earning a college education. So, the scholarship is as important as it's ever been, and having this platform to promote the scholarship is very important for us. The awareness of the Evans Scholars on the Golf Channel on Thursday, Friday, and NBC over the weekend is a big deal for us. So I don't think we can lose sight of the awareness factor, which ultimately generates funds for the Evans Scholars Foundation. We're going to do some unique things during championship week that you'll learn about early next week. But we've got some virtual opportunities for fans to take part in. We've got, some golf at Olympia Fields afterwards, so we're going to generate some dollars. As I mentioned, BMW has been very supportive of the Evans Scholars, Scholars Foundation financially, as is really the membership of Olympia Fields. I can't tell you how supportive they have been. Those members who bought hospitality or Pro-Am spots, you know, great number of them have just donated the money back to the Evans Scholars Foundation, which is amazing. Wow. You know, for them to do that and be so supportive. I mean, they're an incredible longtime partner of the Evans Scholars Foundation, and really that partnership has shown this year. So, you know, we're not going to raise the kind of money that we did at Medina or at Aronimink in previous years, but we're going to raise money for the Evans Scholars Foundation, and we're going to raise that awareness as well, because it's a global platform for us.
Vince, I don't know that people really understand how important having a really great corporate sponsor helping you putting on this tournament. What has BMW meant to you? They've been the corporate sponsor since 2007, I believe. What has that partnership meant to you? And tell the fans, the golf fans out there, how important it is for you to have that kind of a partner.
Yeah, you know, Barry, and you're right. It dates back to the inception of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and they've been with us through the whole thing. And it's such a premium global brand. They bring a level of excellence and premiumness to the championship. So, you know, we had an incredible tournament in the Western Open, but when we moved into the playoffs and had the top 70 players in the world attending and a premium sponsor like BMW, everything, you know, went to the next level. And so they continue to push us to be better and to make a better experience for spectators, hopefully when we have them next year. just in general, the look and feel of the championship. And again, the reason we run these championships, and whether it's the Evans Scholars Invitational or the BMW Championship, and to some degree the Western Amateur, and we run these championships to raise awareness and dollars for the Evans Scholars Foundation. And without a title sponsor, that, you know, a lot of the entitlement fee ultimately trickles down to support the charity, you know, it just doesn't happen. So we're so appreciative of them, and they're just a great partner for us to have.
You know, I read a while back, Vince, that the during the playoffs, they were going to the PGA Tour said they're going to expand the bubble a little bit. First of all, if you could explain what kind of a bubble you and your team are in, et cetera, and you know, what kind of testing there'll be, and then how are they expanding the bubble a little bit for the playoffs?
Yeah, so essentially, you know, players, caddies, essential support staff, whether it's tournament staff or PGA Tour staff, would be in the so-called bubble. And they're going to get tested prior to coming on site. And, you know, the PGA Tour has been at the forefront of getting back to playing golf and getting back to sports. And they have an incredible health and safety plan, which, you know, I won't dive into too much of the details, but, you know, do know that they source all of this themselves, working with Sanford Health and bringing it in as to not, you know, take away from anything from the community and totally source that separately, just to make sure that we have a safe environment for the players. Now, I will tell you, they're expanding it a little bit. I mean, you know, at the past couple of weeks, we've had player spouses or significant others at the championship, and we'll see a little bit of that this week. But besides, you know, player wives and volunteers, which, by the way, are all going to be Olympia Fields members because there's no spectators. This is really their opportunity to see the championship on their course. Very few opportunities. So, I mean, they're kind of dipping their toe in the water, and we'll see where this goes in the future.
Yeah, Vince, I was actually going to ask you about the volunteers. So that's going to be club members this year, and what type of things will they be doing? Obviously, there's not going to be the fans there. So what will you have your volunteers doing?
Yeah, so you know, we normally have about 2,000 volunteers support the championship, and I will say, to all those volunteers out there that are listening that have supported us since the Cog Hill days, we appreciate you, and you're the lifeblood of the championship. And, you know, in a normal year, we would have, like I said, 2,000 volunteers. This year we have 350.
Wow.
Olympia Fields members. But, you know, we still need their support, because the data that you're seeing online, or whether you're watching the telecast from the ShotLink data, how far did, you know, Dustin Johnson hit it on this hole, or Bryson DeChambeau, or how close to the pin they hit it, that's all done through volunteers. And we have walking scores, and then really we have marshals, because I'll tell you what, the rough out here at Olympia Fields is gnarly, it's thick, we need people out there to spot the balls and you know, help out the players. So there's a limited marshals out there as well, but yeah, 350 for the week, and you know, they're still very important to the operation.
Real quick, Vince, you mentioned the Evan Scholars Invitational, and of course, Scottie Scheffler shot 59. He won the tournament last year out at the Glen Club, and you've got you had an earlier postponement earlier this year. It was supposed to be in May at the Glen Club, and now you changed venues. You're going to be in September at the
Chicago Highlands. Yeah.
Week is the U.S. Open, or am I wrong about that? I can't remember the exact dates, but anyway, it's in September.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So we're excited about that. And unfortunately we had some scheduling conflicts with the Glen Club, but the Chicago Highlands has truly embraced that championship. And we're looking forward to, you know, taking our Korn Ferry Tour event, which is aptly named the Evan Scholars Invitational, and that's going to be in a couple weeks here. That's another great event, and that's an opportunity for us to really see the progression of players, you know, from our junior championships all the way up to the amateur and then the Korn Ferry Tour and then the BMW Championship. So, you know, that event is going to be September 10 through 13 at Chicago Highlands, and, you know, it's obviously a newer club, but a strong supporter of the Evan Scholars Foundation as well.
Well, Vince, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for hopping on the phone with us, and certainly good luck with the tournament next week and with the Evan Scholar event next month.
No, we appreciate it. Hopefully everybody tunes in and see some great golf.
Definitely will, Vince.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Vince Pellegrino out at Olympia Fields, the tournament director for the BMW. And Barry, we are out of time, but as we talked about, and I'm sure we'll talk about more next week, certainly an odd time to be putting on an event, but Vince and his team doing the best they can, and it sure will be a great event out there.
It sure will. It sure will, and it'll be great to watch it on TV.
Yep. So thanks to Vince Pellegrino. Thanks to Brett Packey, who joined us in our Swing Thoughts segment earlier. Thanks to Stuart Sink, PGA Tour professional. We appreciated his time. Thanks to Julio Roseo for producing the show. Barry, thanks to you. We'll chat again another 2 hours next week.
Thanks, Mike. Always great being with you.
Great being with you as well. Score listeners, stick around. Early Odds, Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Cubs fans, we all miss being live at Wrigley Field.
Cubs win!
But imagine the thrill of hearing your name read live on the score as our home team hero, Cubs fan of the game.
It's our way of honoring our local heroes.
Just nominate a first responder or frontline healthcare worker who also is a Cubs superfan at 670thescore.com/hero.
Just tell us how crazy of a Cubs fan they are, and they could get a shout out during a Cubs game in September.
Presented by Proven Winners, the number one plant brand. From Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs.
A Chicago District Golf Association membership is for everyone who plays the game. CDGA membership includes a USGA handicap index, exclusive members offers, unique playing opportunities, educational events, and unique members-only contests. To join or for more information, visit cdga.org. Fantasy Golf, presented by Tour Edge, is back for 2020. The Fantasy Golf schedule continues with a BMW Championship. CDGA members can play for free and get a chance to win great prizes, including equipment, rounds of golf, food, and more. Visit cdga.org.
All right, now we welcome in Paul Bonfiglio of Basement Water Stoppers.
Well, at Basement Water Stoppers, our goal is to create a healthy environment for your home and family. And we're there to guide the homeowners along every step of the way of their water problems and to take the stress out of the situation for them. We can show them how they can expand their living space and gain peace of mind that their investment will be protected. We can be out within 5 days for a free inspection, and we complete our work shortly thereafter.
Paul, what makes Basement Water Stoppers unique from the company?
Well, our focus is just on the foundation, so top of the foundation down, and we work just to stop water intrusion into the basement or crawl space. We use proven repair solutions, and to complement our repairs, we offer warranties that are lifetime warranties, fully transferable. Gives the homeowner peace of mind that the repair is done right and their money was well spent.
Now that people are spending even more time in their homes than normal, what are some of the signs that homeowners should be looking for when you might find out you need a waterproofing expert?
First of all, water in a basement or a crawl space is never a good thing. It's never going to get better or go away. It's only going to get worse over time. So when you're seeing signs of any kind of seepage in your basement, that's something that you'd want to have somebody come out and take a look at to make sure that the problem is corrected early on before it does any kind of damage. And talk about damage, it could be to the foundation and or it could be to the health of the residents because of creating a mold situation in the home. Sump pumps often get overlooked, and most people put them in and forget about them, and those are something that have a life expectancy of 3 to 5 years. And once you're pushing the end of that time, it's something you want to consider replacing. And if you don't have a battery backup, you should really consider it, even if you have an unfinished basement, because pumps will fail, and they're mechanical, so if they go out, they usually go out when you need them the most. That battery backup will ensure that you'll stay dry, whether it's a pump failure or a power outage.
Paul Bonfiglio, Basement Water Stoppers. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, you have a great day.
Fire threatens everything in its path. When it threatens our nation and our communities, we respond. We bring the fight to the front line. The Army National Guard stands ready to face the dangers of Mother Nature and protect our homes and our neighbors. We will always be there when your community needs us the most. Discover more about all the ways you can serve part-time in your community by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois Army National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association at this station.
The Army National Guard plays a vital role in your community. We're on the front lines, supporting essential personnel, first responders, law enforcement, and medical professionals, delivering food, supplies, and medicine, keeping communities safe, making a difference. During emergencies, we're always ready, always there. Learn more about part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Illinois Army National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
From muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.